And welcome to the Social Disease Podcast. I'm Bridget.
And I'm Jasper.
And today we are going to be talking about season 7, Jimmy, Ashley, Spinner, and some Jane in there too.
Yes, the two OG best friends and their significant others.
Our extra year seniors and their friends.
Well, Ashley is also a super senior.
Oh yeah, because she did her little stint in Europe.
Yeah, so like they're all super seniors, and then Jane is like 2 years under them.
Yeah, Jane's like a baby.
Yeah,
just hanging out with some old people. But before we get into it, we just want to address that our Twitter got a reply from the person who literally created Degrassi.
Well, Stephen Stone did not create Degrassi.
Okay, well, he was definitely involved in the process.
Yeah, he was like a producer at some point. I forget when he actually came in, but he's married to Linda Schuyler, who did create Degrassi.
And he was in the 10-year reunion panel, right?
20 years, yes.
20, oh my God. 20-year, awkward. 20-year panel too. And he replied to one of the tweets that Jasper tweeted.
Yes, I was just like bored one day, and I was just like, what should the subtitle be of the next Degrassi reboot? You know, because we're always talking about the reboot. So I was thinking like, oh, what'll the tagline be? Like the next generation, next class? What is it going to be? And then like Stephen Stone just responded. Basically, the next generation came from Star Trek, how like Star Trek has like 20 different iterations as well. And how like one of the Star Trek iterations was the next generation. So that's where Degrassi, the next generation, came from. So then he was like, well, I guess we're going to move from Star Trek to Star Wars and make the subtitle A New Hope, which is the subtitle, I guess, of the first Star Wars movie. I'm not big on Star Wars, so I'm not sure. But yeah, so if a Degrassi reboot happens, it might be called Degrassi A New Hope.
I also loved a lot of the concepts that were like coming up in the replies. What I really liked was the idea of them rebooting it, but being like the 90s Degrassi, since they kind of skipped over that. And I feel like that could be a really interesting take versus like doing a today Degrassi.
I think that would be interesting, but also kind of the point of Degrassi is that it's relevant to the teens who are watching it in the current time.
I guess, but I think it'd be boring. I don't want to like a COVID Degrassi. I want like a 90s Degrassi.
Well, that's what fan fiction is for.
Oh, fine. I liked that reply though. That was a good one. Whoever replied with that idea.
Yes. Well, watch out for Degrassi A New Hope in 2040.
Hopefully, right? And yeah, check out our Twitter as well.
Yes. DDE social disease. Stupid Twitter character limit. Okay.
All right. Do you want to get into Jimmy and Ashley?
Yes. We're going to start with the OG eighth grade couple who are now super seniors and still dating. Okay. So this is probably one of Ashley's most infamous moments, where Craig's new album releases, I forget what it's called, but he basically stole Ashley's song and did not credit her. So Ashley is upset about it, which honestly, I would sue Craig for that shit, because that is plagiarism. But Ashley is, she kind of gets motivated by this and is thinking of kind of restarting her music career. And so she tries to perform at the Degrassi talent show, but people only see her as Craig's ex-girlfriend and they boo her off the stage. But Jimmy, being the supportive boyfriend that he is suddenly good at rapping now. I wonder why. And he kind of helps the crowd support Ashley by having a good freestyle rap. But Ashley gets upset at Jimmy for doing this because she wants to make it on her own and without a man's help. And they kind of do a bit of a back and forth for a while, where Ashley is like very defeated. And then Jimmy ends up performing at like some college place that Griffin, who is the roommate of Paige, Marco, and Ellie, just like some college showcase where Jimmy performs, but without Ashley. And like, there's some producer there who wants a demo from them, from both of them, because the producer liked Ashley's backing track on Jimmy's rap. So Ashley is like mixing the demo and ultimately takes off Jimmy's verse and sends it in with just her as a soloist. And so that's how that episode ends. We meet up with both of them a couple episodes later, where it's now from Jimmy's perspective, where he is at physical therapy and he's not doing too great. And he meets this new girl, Trina, who is also paralyzed and also uses a wheelchair. And she kind of motivates him. And at the same time, he finds out what Ashley did to the demo and calls Ashley his biggest disappointment, which I feel is a step up from calling her a slut in season two. Oh. But Ashley cannot catch a break from her men. Yeah, so he basically starts to befriend Trina, and she kind of makes him feel a bit better about his disability and kind of motivates him and encourages him to use, I don't know what they're called, but they're like little walking sticks so that he could walk at least upright without his chair. And so he befriends Trina after a while. At one point, Ashley sees Jimmy and Trina flirting outside of Degrassi. And she, of course, is upset with this. She's like, after all I've done for you with helping you over the past year, blah, blah, blah. And then Jimmy is like, well, maybe I did not want a caretaker. I wanted a girlfriend. And so they break up, finally. And then Jimmy officially starts dating Trina because they have a cute little driving scene together where they're driving a, I don't know what to call it, just a hand motive, what would you call it?
So it's just a regular car, but you're able to drive it with your hands.
Yes.
Like, you don't have the gas pedals. You can use your hands to operate the gas and the brake.
Yeah, I was thinking like hand-controlled.
Hand-controlled, yeah.
Also, if you use your feet, you're still using your hands on the wheel, so that didn't sound right.
Yeah, that's why I was like, use your hands like specifically for gas and brake. But right. Yeah, hand-controlled sounds right.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, so Jimmy and Trina get together and they are a disabled power couple. And so towards the end of the season, Jimmy kind of gets in his head that he wants to have stem cell surgery because there is somebody at his physical therapy who did get the stem cell surgery and he is now walking. And Trina also is looking into getting the stem cell surgery. So she is kind of peer pressuring him into joining her. And so when Jimmy confronts his dad about this, he says no, one, because Jimmy's dad is and has always been trash, but also because it's very experimental, it's not certain whether it'll work or not. I actually looked up what the current state of stem cell research is today, because this episode was in like 2007, so it's been a while, and apparently it is still very experimental, and they're not sure how it works. And especially his dad is not into it because he would need to travel to like Europe for the summer to get the stem cell surgery because it's illegal in Canada because it is so experimental. And because Jimmy got into law school and his dad wants him to work at his law firm for the summer instead of getting stem cell surgery. So a ton of reasons why Jimmy's dad is trash, some valid, some not. But at the end of the day, Jimmy finds his dad cheating on his mom, one of the, I don't know who she was, just somebody who works at Jimmy's dad's law firm. And so Jimmy confronts his dad about this and basically blackmails his dad into letting him go for stem cell surgery over the summer. And so they both end up convincing Jimmy's mom, and then they make the plan to do it. And that's kind of the end of Jimmy's whole arc. Oh, also, I forgot to mention, after Jimmy and Ashley break up, Ashley ends up going on tour with Craig. So there's the whole spring break episode where like they're going to Smithdale or whatever, and Ashley tags along, and it's a whole secret about who the mystery concert guest will be at the Smithdale concert, and it turns out to be Craig. And so Ashley leaves forever to go tour with Craig. I'm so mad about it. But that's how Ashley Kerwin ends.
Okay. Great job. Starting with the beginning. So Ashley and Jimmy really come into the show at episode 4, because a lot of the beginning is all Darcy and Emma and all that stuff. So we first see them, and yeah, Craig's album's out. This is very exciting. I think it's kind of funny how Ashley's like, I wasn't even mentioned. But at first I was like, what do you mean you're not mentioned? There's a literal song named after you. But then I understand what she meant after that.
The acknowledgments section.
Yes. And then it's funny because he acknowledged Jimmy in it.
Yeah.
But also him and Jimmy have been friends since he like moved here. Kind of. At least Jimmy and him were friends when Jimmy was shot and Craig was going through the bipolar thing. So it kind of makes sense that he was mentioned in it too. And they were in the band, whatever. Ashley left out, sure. But that was kind of shitty on his part though.
Yeah, the fact that Craig literally stole Ashley's song and didn't credit her, like Ashley could be making lots of money off of this, and that's really fucked up.
It is, but I was also thinking about it, and him and Ashley broke up because Ashley practically found another boyfriend while she was in Europe and like didn't even tell him. So like I can see where from a point he's probably like, are you kidding? Like, no, I'm not gonna credit you. You literally went to Europe, didn't even tell me we broke up and got another boyfriend and told Ellie in an email. And then he had that whole thing with Manny and Ellie. So it's kind of like, I don't know. I can kind of see where he probably was bitter and didn't want to include Ashley in it.
Well, but at the same time, we hear that Craig emailed Ashley asking her to go on tour with him. So they're definitely still in some contact.
Yeah, there's a lot of inconsistencies with like who Craig is supposed to actually be with, I think. Right. Because we thought it was going to be Ellie, but then it wasn't Ellie. And then we thought it was going to be Manny, and then it wasn't Manny. And then we thought it was going to be Ellie again, and it wasn't Ellie. And Ashley was kind of like left a while ago in the dust. So yeah. It was interesting that Ashley and him are back in contact again.
It does make sense given how they were both so into music. But
yeah, and they were going to be successful together in that band. There was the whole issue of they were dating, so people were like mad that it was just him and Ashley kind of thing. Okay, so I want to address how Ashley is very talented. She is. I won't deny it, even though I'm not an Ashley fan. She's looking great this season. Good for her. But unfortunately, I think, in my personal opinion, Craig and Jimmy are both just more talented than she is. And that's just like what it comes down to is like, I think Craig had it more than she did with like the stage presence and the personality and like playing guitar and like being able to sing. And Jimmy is very talented, as you can see what happens to him in real life with his music success. So like, I'm not saying Ashley's not successful or talented, but I just don't know if she's more talented than the other two.
I think she is just talented in a way that isn't for a performer. Like Ashley was using like tons of technical terms for like how she was mixing this demo and stuff. So like Ashley is very much the person who is behind the scenes making the song as good as it can be. She's not really the person who is on stage performing.
Yes, I agree. I think she is somebody who would be super successful in writing and producing for people. And I think that would be the way she should like go. But I also understand she wants to be a performer.
Even though it would be good for Ashley to kind of realize that like, oh, maybe I would be better behind the scenes. Like I don't need to be the front runner. I don't need to be a soloist. Like I do get her kind of frustration that everybody likes everybody except her. They're like,
oh yeah, definitely.
Like, oh yes, we like you, but only with Jimmy. So I did feel for her with that, because that's kind of where the problem started, that like Craig stole her song and then was getting the credit over her. So it's kind of the same situation, but now with Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, she was also being a bit delusional here, because she could become that famous performer that she wants to be if she and Jimmy actually teamed up. Like if she let herself be like a co-performer with Jimmy and kind of use his clout to get ahead.
Yes, that's what I was thinking too, because I felt she was very back and forth about whether or not she wanted Jimmy to be on like her team in this situation. Because at first she was like last season or the season before, she was like, Jimmy, we're gonna go to like law school together. And he was like, I don't know, maybe I want to be an artist. And she was like, you're annoying. Why would you want to change your dreams? And then like this first episode of the season, she's like, I think I want to change my dreams. And she's like, and he's like, I fully support you. Like, you inspire me. Like, I'm totally supportive. And like, Jimmy was 10 out of 10 this whole season with her. Like, he did everything so right and great and nice that I'm like, I don't know why she kept changing her mind.
Yeah. Going into kind of why she takes Jimmy's demo off the track, I know you're probably just going to say it's because she sucks.
No. It didn't help her. I'll say that. It didn't add to her positive credentials here.
Right. But like, it did make a bit of sense to me because, again, even though it was stupid, because she should have just teamed up with Jimmy and she could have gone all the way with that. But she went with that right after getting the first positive critique from the producer that she ever got, like at the showcase. Like Jimmy was performing, and then the producer was like, "Oh, I really liked the backing track." That was like the first positive thing she's ever heard about her music. So I think she just kind of took that and ran with it.
No, and I totally understand why she did it. She saw this as her opportunity. And I think she probably rationalized it by thinking that Jimmy didn't care too much because this rap thing is kind of new. And she's been trying to do this forever. So
Right.
she was like, if Jimmy gets mad, like, whatever, in the end.
You know, that's a good point. Like, Jimmy is being a bit flip-floppy about what he wants to do with his life.
Oh yeah, he's being flip-floppy, but so is she, because she's like, Jimmy, why don't you freestyle on my song? And he's like, okay, great. So then he does it, and she's like, actually, I'm gonna perform this alone, and I'm telling you this 1 second before I'm gonna perform it alone. And he was like, okay, like, why are you? And then he goes out there anyway. I don't know why she can't just be honest in the beginning. Like, why did she even let him do it at all?
I just think she didn't know what she wanted.
I think she knew what she wanted. I think she was just trying to be nice and then realized, I don't want to be nice anymore. But then we see it didn't even like work out for her anyway because nobody wanted to hear her, which was kind of sad. And then him coming in and rapping over the whole thing was a little rough too. Like, I feel like I wouldn't have been super pumped about that either.
Yeah.
But
Yeah, I also kind of fell for her in that situation where Jimmy just upstaged her.
I did like when this kind of ties into like the disability piece because it still comes up a lot. Jimmy brings it up kind of often, but I think sometimes Ashley is like to the point where she forgets or like it's not really a big piece anymore in her life where she'll be like anything that Jimmy like wants like he gets or like anything that he can do like it works out for him. And then Ellie had to be like except walking
Yeah.
you know, which I feel like is kind of, I don't know, like a refreshing piece because it's almost like Ashley doesn't see him in that way where like his disability is holding him back because it's not in this case.
Well, I also feel like in later episodes, Ashley does kind of treat Jimmy's disability as kind of a nuisance a little bit.
I think it does switch, but I feel like in this case, when she's talking about him being able to do anything, like I think she's kind of right. Like people do like him because he has a great personality and he's talented at basketball and he's also talented at music. So like Ellie being like, well, he can't walk, it's kind of like, is it relevant in that situation? I don't know.
I see what you're saying, that like just because he's disabled, he can still do everything.
Yes.
So the interesting thing to me about this whole Ashley thing is that this is her first real plot since season three, right? Because that was when the whole Craig cheating on Manny thing happened and Manny got pregnant, and then they did the whole Battle of the Bands thing.
Okay.
I feel that was the last time where we actually saw Ashley's perspective. Because she was gone in season five. Season four, she was mostly just supporting Craig through his bipolar stuff.
Yeah.
And then season six, last season, she was just Jimmy's girlfriend.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, like, this is, in my view, this is, like, Ashley's first point of view episode since season three. And so that was just interesting to me, because why would they give her this time when we haven't noticed her? She hasn't really been much of a character for herself in a while. And then they just write her off.
Maybe they wanted to, like, wrap it up with her, and, like, this was the way to do it.
But did you think this episode, and, like, leading into her leaving with Craig, do you think that was wrapping up her character? Like, do you think that wrapped up her whole character from season one?
I mean, kind of, considering she hasn't had a plot in, like, three seasons.
Right.
So I feel like, I mean, what do you wish they just blackholed her?
I don't wish they blackholed her. I'm just kind of confused as to why they spent this time kind of reintroducing us to her again with, like, the music stuff, just to, like, write her off.
Maybe it was to drive Jimmy's plot forward more.
But did it?
I think it kept attention on him throughout the whole season, because it introduced, like, Trina. I don't know. I mean, I personally wouldn't have cared if she didn't come back, but she was dating Jimmy, so I guess they kind of had to do something.
Yeah, like, it seemed like they just put all this time into it just to break them up, which, like, they could have done in a subplot, not a full episode.
Maybe they really want to explore Jimmy, like, doing music. It, like, made sense for them to include Ashley in it.
I guess so. Because I'm not entirely sure the timeline of Drake's career, but, like, I definitely can see, like, Drake was rapping on set, so they just decided to write Jimmy as a rapper. Because before this, Jimmy was not really involved in music at all, or rapping, I guess, besides being in Downtown Sasquatch.
Well, yeah, that was his music. He played guitar.
Yeah, but that's, like, very different from rapping.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they were like, where do you want your character to go? And he was like, I'd like to do this.
Yeah.
Give him an option. I mean, I don't mind, because he's good. So it's, like, fine.
Yeah, I don't mind either. It's just interesting how this whole episode is focused on Ashley, when it's really just, like, a reason to write Ashley off and break her and Jimmy up.
It's whatever. It makes Ashley more of a villain for me, so then I have more reason to not like her, and I don't mind.
No, listen, I'm sure everyone knows that I'm an Ashley apologist and an
Ashley. For no reason. Now I'm seeing literally no reason here.
Not for no reason. Listen, I yearn for the potential of Ashley Kerwin in seasons one and two. Like, she had so much potential in seasons one and two, and then starting in season three, she just became obsessed with Craig.
But same, even in seasons one and two, she was shitty to Terry.
Okay, I don't think she was, like, a nice character necessarily, but I think she was an interesting character to watch develop. Like, she had the whole perfectionist thing, and then that fell apart when she took ecstasy, and then she had her whole goth phase. So, like, her identity issues, I guess, has always been the interesting aspect of her character to me. So I feel like if they weren't just going to write her off, that would have been a good reintroduction to her character with this episode, where, like, she still doesn't really know who she is, and that's kind of why her music isn't connecting with people.
I think there's also the fact that if her and Jimmy break up, she has no other relationships that are going to be there for her as a fifth year senior.
Right.
So, like, who is she going to hang out with? Who is she going to become friends with? Like, she's old. Jimmy and her broke up. Ellie graduated, so she hangs out with her sometimes. But, like, we know that they're going to, like, not bring Ellie back next season anyway. So I think they probably were like, what are we going to do with her anyway?
They could have just kept her and Jimmy on.
No, you're making excuses. Like, after the fact that she even came back after having, like, three seasons of no plots, and they gave her a plot, is, like, they must have had some sort of contract with her.
Yeah, I just regret that Ashley had lots of potential in the beginning of the series, and it didn't really go anywhere. That's basically what I'm trying to say.
I think she, what you would have liked to see is her have like a character development similar to Paige. Because Paige was shitty and then turned into a non-shitty person, whereas Ashley was shitty and never grew out of being shitty.
I guess so.
Because they never had the opportunity. She's always just been somebody who's kind of like self-centered.
That would have been a good character arc for her.
Nope, it just stuck in this one too.
Well, Ashley could have had it all if she just collabed with Drake and that's it.
Yeah, her stubbornness of being like on her own and stuff didn't end up working out anyway because she ended up going on tour with Craig. Yeah. So she's settling anyway for just being on the side.
Yep.
So I don't know why she had to hurt Jimmy like that.
Well, speaking of hurting Jimmy, let's kind of move on to the breakup between them and like the development of Jimmy and Trina.
I think that Jimmy should have broke up with her when she left him off the track, to be honest. How could you ever trust anyone ever again after that? Like, yeah. A record label asked for them and she deliberately left him off. Didn't tell him. The song Tell Me Lies. Guess what? She did that. And it didn't even come out until he just like happened to find it. So I thought they had broken up. So I was kind of shocked to see them show up to school together a few episodes later.
Right.
Even though they break up in that episode anyway.
Yeah, it was a little confusing, but I guess they wanted to amp up the drama with like the slight cheating that was going on.
Of course.
Emotional cheating, at least.
Yeah, there was definitely some of that, because what I did like was that he asked, who is it, Spinner? He was kind of like, what do I do? Like, I think I like Trina, but I'm also dating Ashley. And Spinner's like, okay, you literally don't like Ashley, so like, dump Ashley. And Jimmy was like, okay, and then like did. So that was good.
Right, like honestly, I'm surprised that he was having this dilemma, because the same exact thing happened with Hazel and Ellie. The same exact thing happens where the girl he's dating finds out that he has feelings for another girl and then just dumps him right then and there.
I think that when he was like, we're crutches for each other, he wasn't wrong though. Because I don't even think Ashley genuinely liked Jimmy either, because she wouldn't have done that to him if she did. In my opinion.
Right. And like even last season with the whole boner plot where he couldn't get an erection, like she was very supportive of him during that, but there were always kind of the vibes that she was just being his caretaker, basically. Kind of the same way that she was kind of babying Craig a little bit during the bipolar episode.
And I feel bad, because I think that she thinks she's doing the right thing by like sticking it out with these guys, because they're in like shitty situations, and she's like, maybe if, you know, I'm there, I can help and like make it better. But then they unfortunately realize before her that she's just, it's just comfortable. It's not like they're happy. She's comfortable taking care of them and not having to like actually have a real relationship.
Mm-hmm. And Jimmy points out something that Ashley said where she's like, oh, you're still the same Jimmy inside. When like it has been 3 years at this point, 2 years? 2 years, like 2.5 years since the shooting at this point. So like, how is Jimmy even the same person from 3 years ago, even without his disability, you know?
Yeah, so, exactly.
So like Jimmy is like, I think he says this to Trina, that like, oh, everyone is like, oh, you're the same person inside. And it's like, no, not only has it been a long time since the event happened, but there's no way that I would be the same person after losing my legs, you know? Ashley just like doesn't recognize that, I guess.
I think it's almost like I'm not putting any blame on him, but I don't know if he's ever really voiced like to her. We've heard it like throughout, but I don't know if he's ever really said it to her that like he's not the same person. Like he experienced this really horrible trauma, like learn how to like relive his life. But I think in any situation, nobody is the same person that they were 5 years ago, 3 years ago, you know? And she isn't either. She went to Europe for a year.
Right.
Like, she wasn't the same person when she came back. And even though she still does shitty things, but she's a different person. So yeah, definitely a crutch. I think that it was the time for them to break up. I don't think that it ever would have been a successful relationship that would have lasted forever.
So how do you feel about his relationship with Trina then?
I think that it's kind of good, because I think sometimes in situations, people who have experienced like a similar type of trauma have a better understanding of what you've had to go through, and you don't have to have this like fake sympathy for somebody, or like they share things on like a different level that not everybody has experienced. So I think it's kind of good that he has somebody like that. I would have been fine if they were just friends, like it's whatever that they turned into a relationship, but I think that they needed to introduce another character for Jimmy to kind of have those conversations with. Because like they kind of introduced that nurse that was in a wheelchair at some point, but that was like a 1 second scene that wasn't very long.
Yeah, like I definitely liked the aspect of Trina's character as just another disabled person for Jimmy to relate to, like you said. I'm not too sure how I feel about them as a couple, because it does just feel like they created Trina as Jimmy's disabled girlfriend and there's not much more to her.
I don't know. I kind of like her as like a person too. They gave her personality. Like she's going to school for like physical therapy, which is cool. And she like likes to do all these like active things, and she like helped him learn how to drive, stuff like that. So I think even though she's disabled, I think there's still that positive outlook for her that she's like, I'm not going to be disabled forever, or like she's made some progress. I don't know if I would consider it like just this person that they gave Jimmy because he was disabled, I guess.
Yeah, like I do agree that she has a personality, but like compared to Jane, for instance, where Jane is also created to be Spinner's girlfriend, right? Jane like has a very strong personality outside of Spinner, whereas Trina is just there to support Jimmy through his disability things, which is great. Like, I'm glad that Jimmy could have somebody to like voice his feelings to, but like as a couple, like I don't really see the chemistry, and like she just isn't her own character compared to like someone like Jane, who had a similar kind of creation.
Well, I think they didn't make her own character because she's not going to stick around after this season.
Yes.
Right?
But
like, still, she doesn't even go to Degrassi, so they're not going to... Okay, if they brought in somebody who was disabled to Degrassi and then somehow set Jimmy up with her, that I think would have been way too much. I would have been like, all right, they went out of their way.
I don't know. I just don't like Trina very much. Maybe that's just the crux of it.
Wait, why don't you like her?
Well, the dreadlocks for one thing.
But well, yes, okay, because also Jane's hair is also looking relatively close to dreadlocks on the top, so I think it was some sort of fashion statement at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately. Okay, besides, yeah, the dreadlocks,
also the I didn't like her peer pressuring Jimmy into the stem cell.
Yeah, I like that Jimmy did like kind of stand up for himself in that, though. I think that it was an interesting plot in that sense, because the idea of stem cells is something that is brought up, I think I said this before, in like One Tree Hill as well. Not One Tree Hill, sorry. Friday Night Lights, with the main character who goes into a wheelchair and then he looks into stem cells too or whatever. So it's definitely something that's brought up, and her encouraging him to do it. Yeah, I guess that comes from, like, he even said, this is, like, not conditional love. If you're not going to love me, even if I don't do this kind of thing. And I think she wasn't thinking of it in that sense. Like, if she is this excited to walk again, I think she kind of felt, oh, then he probably is also this excited to walk again, and was like encouraging him to do it. I like her, so I'm going to defend her. I have no issues with her. If anything, I think it's way healthier than whatever him and Ashley were doing. So,
yeah, like I said, I like Trina as supporting Jimmy through his disability. I just am not super on board with them as a couple.
I guess that's fine. Do you want to go into his dad stuff? Or do you have anything else for him and Trina?
Do you remember, this is in season 8, but Jimmy shows up in one episode in season 8 and just talks about how he is going to propose to Trina.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah. So, like, Jimmy and Trina are endgame, which is also maybe why I don't like them, because they're not developed enough as a couple to be endgame to me.
That's fine. I mean, I like them. I think you have to also think, like, endgame isn't always going to be a couple that's been dating for a long time at Degrassi that you get to see every aspect of their relationship. Like, look at what happened with Spinner and Emma.
Yeah.
Like, even though everybody has an issue with that.
Yeah. I just, honestly, Jimmy and Hazel are the best.
Oh, that's why. It's not even a Trina thing. It's because it's not Hazel. It could be anybody and you'd still be annoyed about it.
I think I would have been okay with Jimmy Ashley. Maybe.
Okay.
I mean, ignoring the stupid demo thing, I maybe would have been okay with Jimmy Ashley.
Okay. That's sure. Whatever.
Okay, but stem cell things. So, like I said, it's still kind of unclear whether stem cells work. And so I was a little interested with, like, it seemed like the show was kind of promoting stem cells as kind of like, oh, if you're disabled, maybe you should look into this. I don't know if you kind of got that vibe.
Yeah, I think I did too.
Yeah. So, like, it seemed a bit irresponsible, I'd say, for Degrassi to kind of advocate for this, given how even now, it's still uncertain how or if it can help paralyzed people. Like you said with the Friday Night Lights thing, it does make sense for them to bring it up as a topic of interest. But given how, like, they kind of jump through hoops of, like, Jimmy's blackmailing his literal father to make it happen, I was like, I'm not sure what Degrassi is trying to say here. Like, should I be supporting Jimmy, like, blackmailing his dad to get this surgery, or should I be rooting for him?
Wait, okay, in season 8, did they ever bring this up again?
So they do show how Trina, it seems to have worked for Trina in season 8, but Jimmy, it's uncertain when he comes back, and then we never see him again after that.
Oh, okay. So then they didn't really say, like, it worked for, like, him, at least.
Yeah, so unless you count the I'm Upset video by Drake as being with Jimmy, then there's no answer as to whether the stem cells worked for Jimmy.
Okay. Well, the thing in, like, the Friday Night Lights show, he goes to Mexico with his friend to get the stem cell surgery, and then his friend is like, we're not doing this. Like, I went with you to support you, but this is ridiculous and illegal, and you're doing it in Mexico, and you don't even know what's going to happen, so let's go back. So then they decide to go back. But it seems in this that Jimmy goes through with it.
Yes, he does.
I mean, they did kind of say they're like, it's very expensive, and, like, we don't know if it's going to work, and, like, there are some negative things too, but they really weren't advertising the negative as much as they probably should have.
Right.
Maybe it's more common in Canada than we know. I don't know.
Well, the whole point is that it, at least at the time, I don't know if it's legal now, but it was illegal at the time.
No, I'm sorry. I mean, like, maybe it was more common in Canada for people to go other places and do it.
Well, if you were going to do it, you would have to go to another place.
Yeah, but I feel like in the United States, I don't know if it's more of a topic or not than, like, maybe in Canada, this was, like, a big thing that was, like, happening right in this time period where, like, people are going to get stem cells for, like, everything.
Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. Because otherwise, like, why else would they do the whole plot for this? Unless they were getting funded by the stem cells in the UK.
That's sketchy.
Sketchy, Degrassi, what are you doing? But yeah, no, he, like, actually blackmails his dad for it.
Yeah. And, like, Jimmy's dad has always been trash ever since we first met him. So I'm not surprised that Jimmy's dad is a cheater. But I do feel bad for Jimmy that he kind of had to choose between his family and, I guess, wanting to walk again.
Yeah, that was kind of ridiculous, honestly.
Yeah, because this episode is also Jimmy's last ever plot. So this is kind of where we leave him.
Which is crazy because the whole thing is like, he literally steals his trust fund with Trita. And then is like, well, you can't do anything about it because then I'll tell mom that you cheated on her. And right? He's like, oh, well, guess we'll do that then.
Yeah, it's like, is this a happy ending or not? I'm not sure if I should be supporting Jimmy in this situation.
It kind of reminds me of the Holly J. Kidney stuff where like Fiona bribes her like actual birth mom into giving a Holly J. a kidney.
That is so true, actually. It's like, Degrassi, what are you saying here?
It's like if you bribe or if you blackmail, you'll get expensive things done.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah. The other thing, and this is kind of maybe an issue I have with Jimmy's overall character arc with respect to being disabled, is that this is all done from kind of the perspective that Jimmy hates being disabled and that he feels like he needs to be fixed.
I knew you were going to bring this up.
Yeah.
which is like, it's a tough call because neither of us have any idea of what it's like to be in that situation. Right. So is it fair for us to be like, get over it? Or are you allowed to be angry your whole life about it? Yeah. Are you allowed to want to change? Like, it's not up to me.
Yeah, like, as both of us are able-bodied, it's hard for us to kind of say. But just, again, as I think I've said before, just like from the perspective of some disabled people view that as a positive, like they view their disability as a strength of theirs.
Absolutely.
And so, I don't know, it would have been cool for Jimmy to kind of have that arc where he grows from resenting his disability to viewing it as a strength rather than his very last plot being like, I'm going to blackmail my father so that I can get rid of my disability.
I think they were so close to doing that when he went to go hand in the papers, when he was like, there should be conditional love to Trina, and him deciding, you know what, I'm going to do the internship. I have plenty of time to do this. Like, they were very close to him being like, I'm okay with doing what I'm doing for the next few years. But then his dad had the affair and it just ruined it.
Because also Trina isn't really helping, again, with the unconditional love thing. It's like, she isn't helping him view his disability positively either.
Yeah, she's more of coming from the side of like, she knows he wants to be out of the chair. So she, instead of her being like everybody else where it's like, you're the same person, like, why does it matter? She's encouraging him to push through and reach his goal. Because she asked him, she's like, what is your goal? And he's like, I want to be able to walk. And she's like, all right, so let's do it. So I think it's like, that's where the whole him needing somebody else who has a disability comes in, because everybody else is kind of telling him, well, why can't you just like be happy in the chair? Like, why can't you just be okay with it? And he never has been. That never changes.
Right.
It's interesting. And it's sad that it does kind of end after this season, because I think they could have done a little bit more with it. But I would have liked if he did stuff outside of the chair too. Like, it's kind of like a...
Jimmy as a supporting character has always been great. Like, his friendship with Spinner this season.
Oh, top tier. Yes.
So good. So good. But like, with respect to Jimmy's overall character arc, I guess, since this is really our last segment on Jimmy, right? Like, for one thing, like you said, it is kind of unfinished with like the open question of whether the stem cells worked or not. And then like, kind of his arc since the shooting has just been like, he has ups and downs with his disability and his wheelchair. And then like, he finds like new passions, like the art or the rapping, but then he like kind of gets beaten down by his disability despite like his new interests. So Jimmy is a fantastic character overall. And I especially like that, a central aspect of his character is that he overcomes people's expectations of him, like his dad, especially with like, oh, Jimmy, you should do this basketball thing, which was season 5. And he's like, no, dad, it's not my dream, it's yours. And like other things, of course, with like even the Boner plot, iconic. But yeah, overall, I'm just disappointed that like his relationship with his disability is never really resolved.
Yeah, I agree with that. I do think after watching like all the way through from season 1 to now, Jimmy definitely grew on me more as a character than I thought that he would. I feel like when I used to watch it, I like never thought much of him. But now, like this season, honestly, I think is one of my favorite seasons for him. I feel like he's finally like kind of developed as like a person, like with the people around him. I mean, like, I think him and Spinner's relationship is awesome. And the way that he treats Ashley is so good up until the whole emotionally cheating part, even though she doesn't deserve it. You know what I mean? Like, and him building a relationship with Trina, like there's just so much of his personality that we get to see.
Yeah, and honestly, I remember I was saying this, I think in season 4, where I had said like, oh, Jimmy doesn't get like the focus, which I kind of disagree with now, having rewatched, because Jimmy does get a good amount of focus.
This season especially, he was in like at least half of the episodes. If not for his own plot, then like driving Spinner's plot through.
Right. So yeah, Jimmy has a good character arc, and it is nicely parallel to Spinner's too. So nice little deuteragonist thing going on there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this is goodbye to Jimmy and hello to Drake.
And now what a career this kid has.
Yeah, do you think Jimmy actually went to law school, or did he go on to become the Degrassi version of Drake?
That's tough, because in the first episode of like the Netflix series, Maya starts with like a Drake quote.
Yes.
So I would like to think that he turned into Drake, but let's just do that. I think he did.
He's Drake, but in a wheelchair. How about that?
No, the stem cells worked. Now he can walk.
Okay.
By him and by Ashley.
Well, Jimmy will pop up for Spinner now, I guess, but.
So, bye, Ashley.
Just say good riddance. I know you want to.
Hey, she did not help herself in this season, so bye.
Okay, so moving on to Spinner and Jane. So, of course, this is the season where Spinner gets testicular cancer. And so essentially how that starts is that Spinner has a crush on Jane, who is new at Degrassi through way of Lakehurst. And he is having continual pains in his stomach and in his groin, which Jimmy ends up convincing him to get checked out. He initially is like, oh, I'm backed up, I need to have sex, that's all it is. But when he eventually goes to get it checked out, it turns out that he has testicular cancer, which is especially worrying because Spinner's father, we find out, died from lung cancer at some point in the past. It is a common theory in the Degrassi fandom that he died in season 4, and that's why Spinner was an asshole in season 4. But at the same time, tensions with Lakehurst are high at this point, because Johnny and crew are being menaces throughout Degrassi and just bullying everybody left and right. And so Spinner at first just tries to keep the peace. He actually joins the like keep the peace club, I guess. And
peace also, committee.
Yeah, whatever it's called. And he also kind of ropes Jane into this as well. And that's kind of how he starts getting closer with Jane. But then once he gets his diagnosis, he starts taking out his anger on Johnny. And so when Johnny is like messing with Toby, he like starts beating up Johnny and stuff. And then they like have fights after school, and it gets recorded, of course, and put on the internet on My Room page. And Spinner gets in trouble for this. And at first, Jane is not necessarily supportive of Spinner fighting Johnny, but she at least is saying like, oh, Johnny like deserved to get punched and stuff, which honestly he did. but when Spinner is the one like seeking out fights himself, that's when Jane gets a little sus, and she's like, dude, what's going on? You can't just deal with your problems by kicking Johnny's ass, no matter how good it looks while you're doing it. And at the same time, he is also kind of avoiding the fact that he has a surgery coming up to remove his testicle as kind of the first steps of his treatment to treat his cancer. And so Spinner kind of goes off the rails for a little bit, where he shaves his head into a mohawk. Very great scene, by the way. And then he's just, again, picking fights with Johnny and then later Bruce the Moose. But then Jane kind of steps in and kind of gets Jimmy on board with kind of giving a wake-up call to Spinner with, like, you need to fight this and not with your fists and stuff. And so Spinner, right before fighting Bruce the Moose, he decides to go get his surgery. He loses his ball. And then he resolves to fight cancer and continues to be talking to Jane. And so from there, Spinner begins radiation and chemotherapy, but he isn't really dealing with it too well. He's feeling sick all the time. He can't keep much of his food down. And he also can't really focus too much on school. And so with the help of Jay, of course, he starts smoking some marijuana to kind of calm him down. But he doesn't want to quit school, as Miss Hatsulako suggests, because if he kind of takes some time off, he won't be able to graduate with Jimmy as he really wants to. But as he starts smoking weed, he also ends up hanging out with Darcy, because there's this kind of dynamic with Darcy versus Jane, where Jane is just trying to cheer Spinner up by getting him to go to parties and stuff, but Spinner just wants to chill and talk. And Darcy, of course, is going through her whole situation, and so she is a good person for Spinner to talk to. And so there's a whole argument there between Spinner and Jane. But then ultimately it ends where Spinner realizes that the weed is making him anxious, and he apologizes to Jane. Jane apologizes to him, and they officially get together. And Spinner, I think he does decide to take some time off of school. So I'm not sure how he actually ends up graduating, but I'm not too mad that he does graduate, because he needs to get out of that school. The next thing that happens is actually a Jane plot, where we actually bring back the Jane and Darcy dynamic, where Jane and Darcy kind of connect over, I don't know, they do archery together, and they start gossiping about their boyfriends. And
club
so
archery.
Club archery. And so Jane reveals that her real name is Anastasia, and that she is the sister of Lucas, who is the resident bad boy and Mia's baby daddy. And then Darcy reveals that she hates Peter's breath when kissing him. And so Jane tells the whole class that Peter has bad breath, which Darcy gets mad at, of course. And then Jane is like, oh, don't be such a girl, you bimbo. Who cares? This is why I don't hang out with girls. It's very cringe.
Hate those plots.
Yeah. Yeah, but then eventually when Jane realizes that she did fuck up and that she wants a girlfriend for once, she genuinely apologizes to Darcy and they become friends. Okay, so now back to Spinner. So it's the finals week, I guess, at Degrassi, and Spinner gets the news that he is going into remission, but he still has to pass physics in order to graduate. And so he initially thinks that he will do a project with Jimmy to just kind of get the easy A, because Jimmy's going to be working on it. But then he kind of blows it off because some Studes thing is happening. Like, again, Spinner is in Studes with Peter, Danny, and Sav. And Spinner is really the only person taking Studes seriously because he's kind of avoiding dealing with school. But upon seeing a stoner who also dropped out of high school and is in a band for like 20 years, he's like, oh, I do not want to be him. And it gives him kind of a wake-up call. And so unfortunately, he did not study for his exam, but Jimmy pulls through and pulls the fire alarm during the physics exam so that Spinner could get out and have a couple more days to study. And ultimately, he does end up graduating with Jimmy. So yay for Spinner, but we're not saying goodbye to him just yet.
Mm-mm. Wow. Yeah, Spinner actually had like a relatively busy season.
Yes.
And it was kind of cool because they did it like all without including him and Paige at all.
I mean, I guess he hasn't been super involved with Paige in a while. I mean, they did have the Friends with Benefits thing for like a minute last season.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I feel like there's still always been some sort of Paige involvement in Spinner's plots, like at some point. And I feel like, is this the first season where they didn't even have any?
I guess so. Yeah.
So that's why I was like, nice. I liked it. I feel like Spinner kind of came into his own character as kind of like the lead guy at Degrassi right now.
Yes, I agree.
I did love that he thought Jane was cute, even though she's definitely 15 and he's like 18.
I think she's 16, but yeah.
Okay, is she twins with that guy?
I think he's a year older.
He's a year older?
Yeah.
Okay. I was wondering, because they never said it, but I wasn't too sure exactly like how it felt, because like she was friends with Mia and Mia and him were the same age, but then Mia was held back.
No, Mia's a year younger too than Lucas.
Oh, so but Mia was still held back though, right?
Yes.
Okay, I see. Yes, you're right. Okay, now I'm caught up. I think Spinner and the whole peace committee thing was kind of funny because that's totally not who he is, like at all. Like, he's not a guy to join a club called Peace Committee.
I agree, but at the same time, he was in Friendship Club for a while. And that, of course, affected him a little bit.
That is true. But at that point, he was kind of like, what else could I do to make my life, like, worse? Let me just, I'm at the bottom, let me join Friendship Club and see if I can go up from here. But, yeah, him dragging Jane into it so that they kind of hang out, that was cute.
Yes, that was cute. The first thing I did want to mention before we get really into the cancer stuff was the feud with Lakehurst that Spinner, like this whole peace committee thing. So I kind of viewed Spinner getting involved with the Lakehurst tension as basically part two of the Rick tension. So it's kind of the same situation where like there's a feud going on between people at school and then Spinner gets involved with it for no particular reason at first. Like, of course, he gets into the whole fighting mood because he's being angsty about having cancer. But at first he's just like, dudes, you gotta chill, calm down. And so like, he's not really doing it for any particular reason, similar to how there was no particular reason why he was bullying Rick back in season 4. Like he's just kind of doing it because, I don't know, just for fun, I guess at first.
Oh, I think he was just genuinely annoyed that these people were like coming in here and treating others and the school this way. Because if you also think about it, like think about the age difference. Like he's 18, he's doing an extra year. He's over it. Like he is over. He's an adult. He's like, I understand that like I'm just trying to get through my day. I'm trying to go home. Like, and they just won't knock it off and he's sick of it. So I think he probably was just like, all right, if I tell him to stop, maybe it'll just make my life a little bit better. And then him and Johnny don't, but we forgot that he's like a master of self-defense now and like kicks Johnny's ass every second he gets, which is awesome.
Yeah. But then when he does kind of like, when it goes past just being annoyed at them and when he is like, I need to let out some anger about having cancer, that's when he's like, I'm beating up these people for no real reason, the same way he was beating up Rick for no reason.
And even what I think was crazy was that like Jimmy even said that at some point. He's like, this bullying is the reason that I was put in a chair. He's like, you don't think this is gonna happen again?
Right.
And even that didn't really like turn Spinner's thoughts around, because that they still fought after that. Or no, wait, was that, did that happen? Or did he choose to go and get his surgery instead?
Jimmy pointed out the Rick connection before he changed his mind.
Okay. Yeah, so that was an interesting connection, because I hadn't really thought about it until Jimmy said that, and I was like, that's so true, even though Spinner isn't the one doing the bullying in that case. Technically. Like, Johnny's the one that's being the bully, and Spinner is trying to, like, stop it, but it doesn't matter because they can still escalate. But I also thought it was interesting that Jimmy brought that point up versus the whole JT got stabbed because of this weird Lakehurst Degrassi shit. Like, he actually was a victim of this. Mm-hmm. So why wouldn't they say that instead?
I guess they didn't really care about JT. And honestly, I did think the parallels with the Rick thing were more relevant just because the Rick thing is Spinner and Jimmy's story, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So the other thing I wanted to mention was, like, if we consider that Spinner's dad died of cancer in season 4, and that's why Spinner was acting out, that means cancer is kind of the trigger, you could think, for Spinner in being an asshole and, like, just beating people up for no reason.
Yeah, because I was thinking, like, it happened when Spinner was young, but not young enough that he, like, didn't know it was happening. Like, it's still a traumatizing thing for him, because even though he knows that the cancer he has is 90% fixable, or, you know, you can get rid of it, it still was something where he literally thought he was going to die the whole time. So I wouldn't put it past him being, like, 13 or 14 when this happened. That would make sense.
Right. Like, that's why he was so anxious to go to the doctor, because he like doesn't trust doctors because they couldn't save his dad.
Yeah. No, I think that based on, like, me being a teacher and students and age psychology and whatnot, it would totally add up that that could have happened in season 4 for him.
Yes. But then kind of showing Spinner's growth between season 4 and now was when he does change his mind. Because the key differences between season 4, which led to Jimmy getting shot, and season 7, where Spinner decides to not escalate the violence anymore, was one, that he has just grown as a person since then, of course. Like, he had his whole redemption arc. But also, Jimmy and him are now working together. Whereas season 4, he was very pointedly against Jimmy at the time. And so it just kind of shows how strong Jimmy and Spinner work together rather than apart.
Yes, and it's so cute. I did kind of like that Jane had to go and tell Jimmy that he needed to, like, step it up for Spinner, though. I think it was kind of interesting because Jimmy is somebody who held a grudge against Spinner for so long, and I feel like Spinner has been making it up to him for so long that now that Spinner actually needs, like, a friend, Jimmy, like, kind of forgot how to do that. So Jane being like, can you do something, I feel like, yeah, was kind of cool, almost, to be like, yeah, you know what, it is your turn. It's like finally Jimmy's turn to, like, help Spinner out.
That's a good point. I like that.
Can I ask you a question since you're a boy?
Okay.
Would you keep it after the surgery?
I would have to know that it wouldn't, like, start smelling or anything.
Ew.
Right? I mean, I feel it would feel weird, like, just throwing out a body part, right?
I literally don't know. I don't know. I just had to ask. It was very important for me to know.
Yeah, I can't say what I would do without having more information.
Fair enough. Okay. Okay. When Spinner shaves his head, first of all, I'm not shocked that they had this scene. I feel like it's they did it with Claire as well. Like, it's one of those scenes where, like, it is an emotional scene for somebody who has cancer to shave their head.
Yes.
But the worst part was that Spinner finally had hair that looked so freaking good. There was such a loss.
Honestly.
I was like, he finally figured it out and now it's all gone.
Oh, that scene though is so good. Because he actually shaved his head in that scene.
I know. And you know what? Him as an actor has come full circle for sure.
Yes. Like, the way that he was crying, like, staring into the mirror, I was like, oh my god, I feel that.
Yeah. That should have won him an award. Him and Darcy this season. Holy shit. That was insane.
However, with kind of respect to this whole cancer situation, like, I think we talked about this a bit with Snake. I feel like whenever there are cancer storylines, odds are the character is not going to die, right?
Yeah, and I feel like that's kind of how cancer goes most of the time for younger people anyway. I would like to think that most of the time it is curable and it is something that you can work through, as we've seen with every character, which I'm fine. I don't need a character to die from cancer. That would really kind of fuck me up.
Yeah, because especially like right away once he's diagnosed, they're like, yeah, this is completely curable. You're going to be fine.
Except when the doctor was like, well, if we don't remove your testicle, you'll die within a few days or weeks. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, I think they might have like not been thinking when they wrote that line, because they're saying, oh, we caught it early. So when someone tells me that they caught it early, it makes me think that I have several years to fight it before I need to worry.
Definitely not yeah. days. Yeah. I was like, what is that? That was crazy.
Yeah, it's like when someone says they caught it early, it's like, I have a bit of time before like it's a problem.
I would like to think. I thought it was kind of cool that like they had a scene where Spinner told Jay about it.
Yeah.
Because like funny. Him and Jay were like best friends for so long, and then he's like, oh, by the way, dude, like I have cancer.
Yeah, I was thinking like their breakup, Spinner and Jay's breakup was in season 5, right? At the Friendship Club beach episode thing.
Yeah.
So like they haven't really been friends in quite a while at this point.
Yeah, but now he's hanging around again, and he seems to become, he's becoming a better person now because Jay. Of Manny.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was kind of cute. I was like, what a little callback to them being friends. And now that's kind of like, yeah, I have cancer, dude.
And then like, in addition to like the trauma from his dad's cancer, part of why Spinner kind of got so angsty in these episodes was because of the toxic masculinity of like his testicles.
Yeah. And I mean, like, I don't really know anything about that. It doesn't mean anything to me. So, like, I get that it is important to guys, though, so.
Yeah. So, it makes sense that, like, Spinner was like, oh, because I have a testicular cancer, that makes me less of a man, blah, 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 that bullshit. But then I liked how when he said that, he said it in front of Jimmy. And then Jimmy was like, dude, you know that I have also had penis issues. And so that was kind of, that didn't like give him a wake-up call or anything, but it was kind of a good tell to the audience that like, hey, just because your balls aren't working as naturally intended, that doesn't make you any less of a man, because there's no one definition of a man. So I did like that aspect of it.
Yeah, and I liked that Jimmy was the one to tell him too, because I feel like Spinner was the one telling him, like, dude, there's like other things you can do. Like, it's going to be fine. Like, you'll figure it out. And also, don't like plenty of men, or at least some men, have like one ball anyway? Like, doesn't that happen? And like, you can still have kids.
Well, I know you can have kids with one testicle, but do you mean like they're born with one testicle?
Yeah, I feel like, doesn't that happen?
I haven't heard about that, but I wouldn't be surprised if it does.
Okay. It just kind of like, it's one of those things where Jimmy's situation is still worse. And like, Spinner's going to be fine. You know what I mean? Like, with that one, like, you're still going to be able to have kids. And like, but I understand that like right now in this time period, he won't be able to give Jane that piece of the relationship that he would probably want to. And like, maybe that's why he's hesitant on being in a relationship with her.
Well, at this point, he was still just getting to know her. He had a crush on her. I don't think he was, like, actively trying to get into a relationship with her until later.
Well, isn't that why he, like, kind of calls it off at first?
Well, that's because he's being angsty. He's like, oh, I have cancer. Get away from me.
Oh, okay. I thought it was because of the specific type.
I mean, that was definitely a piece of it. I don't think he was thinking, like, oh, I can't be with Jane because I couldn't have sex with her.
Oh, I kind of got that vibe that like he couldn't do that. So he's like, why would I date her? Or why would I put her in that position anyway? Kind of thing.
I didn't really get that.
All right. Two different opinions.
But yeah, like was good to kind of see the growth that he did go through with the surgery and didn't beat up Bruce the Moose.
Yeah, that guy was weird.
He's just woofing at people. It's very uncomfortable.
Yeah, I didn't like that at all. That weird bark. I was like, that's enough. Thank you.
But yeah, moving forward into like when he is struggling with the chemo. How do you feel about that? And like, especially how they were kind of framing the marijuana use.
It was interesting because I don't know how accurate it is that they can't give medicinal marijuana to children. Like, I know that you have to have, like, your parents' approval of it, but I'm pretty sure it still could happen if, like, you really wanted it. So that was kind of weird that he had to go around it and, like, get it from Jay and stuff instead. I'm in full support of people using it if you need to use it. Like, I don't see why. Like, I know there are definitely some sort of rules for, like, you can't do it at school. You know what I mean? Like, you can have it, but you can't do it at school. Like, you should be doing it if, like, you're in pain or, like, whatever. But I think if it got to the point where you're doing it at school or you're doing it to make it through school is when you need to reconsider, is school an option? Like, is this something that you're able to do? And should you take a break? So I kind of get why they were kind of like, maybe you need to not come to school during radiation.
Like, it was kind of weird how they were framing it as like, okay, it is working for him, but then at the end they were like, oh no, he shouldn't use it anymore.
Yeah, I think they were trying to be like, it works, but the reason that it's not legal for kids is because kids can't like, also he's 18, so I don't really get it, but it's because they can't figure out how to use it in the responsible way. So then he was doing it all the time versus like only doing it when he quote unquote needs it. And then I didn't really like the whole like it's gonna ruin his life thing. Like, he wasn't doing it because he was a stoner. He was doing it because he was in pain and couldn't eat and was nauseous and physically throwing up on a teacher's shoes,
right?
So I think there are kind of mixed messages about it, but he did a great acting job with being high, so I'll let it slide.
Yeah, I would not be surprised if Shane Kiffle had experience being high and gave an accurate portrayal as compared to like when Paige and Alex were high.
Yes, like if he was smoking weed like to eat at lunch, like sure, that makes sense for him to do it before Simpsons class and then watch the monkey video and laugh the whole time. I was like, dude, come on. But I don't know, I feel like they didn't need him to be like, I'm not gonna do it anymore, for him to like turn his life around. Like, I think he could have continued to do it and also like went to physics and took the test or whatever, you know?
Yeah, like kind of the key of this episode is that like he needs to realize that he cannot handle school right now.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of learns that with the help of both Darcy and Jane. But I don't know.
I think this also was the time before CBD, and CBD would have been a better fit for him, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah, like for me, it's just like the whole reason he was stressing is because he wanted to graduate. And I feel like the school should like cut him some slack, right? It's like you have cancer and you're going through this huge medical thing that you can barely like stay awake or keep your food down. So it's like, why are you putting more stress on him to perform well in school?
I totally agree. I think in real life, there would have been more accommodations for him. He would have been able to take the courses in the winter between like semesters, or maybe like, all right, you'll take physics in the summer after you graduate, but you're going to graduate. You know, like if that's the only class he needs, give it to him at a time where he's not going to fail it.
Right.
I think that they definitely could have accommodated him better, but they just didn't and put a lot of responsibility on him in this.
Right. Like, I did appreciate the resilience that Spinner was showing by being like, yes, I want to go to school so that I could graduate with Jimmy because I made a vow. Like, I thought that was great of Spinner and really showed how much he's grown over the years. But like, he shouldn't have needed to be in the position to make that decision in the first place.
I totally agree. Yeah, he shouldn't have been put in the situation where he needed to make that choice.
Yeah, and then also, like, the whole self-medication aspect.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, no, that was a very interesting turn for them. I think they could have done the whole thing. Like, they could have done without it and just have him still do the band stuff, and, like, it would have just been as fine.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever. They were like druggy spinner.
But then in this whole cancer situation, how did you feel about Jane's role? Like, we already mentioned it a little bit, how she got Jimmy on board, but
Jane was very nice. I don't think I would have stuck around as much as Jane did, to be honest. I think that the amount of times that Spinner, like, one, stood her up, two, was nasty to her, and three, was not open and honest about anything, would have just driven me insane. Like, if he, like, started day one, like, hey, look, I'm exhausted, I can't do all the things you want to do, can we do this? Jane would have been fine, but he never told her that until he snaps at her about it later. Like, how was she supposed to know? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like, how was she supposed to know that that's how he was feeling if he didn't say it?
Yeah, I agree that he only said it when he was kind of mad at her. So he said it in a mean way. But I feel like Spinner was also kind of showing her that he wasn't really enjoying, like, these pool dates, and, like, that he clearly didn't want to go to a concert. Like, she was kind of convincing him to do these things when he was kind of, it was kind of clear by his body language that he wasn't into it. And I feel like she could have done a better job of kind of reading that rather than just thinking, oh, I need to cheer him up.
Well, I think that's what she thought. She thought that he was sad about having cancer. So if she's encouraging him to do these fun things, that he would be happy. Not that he's exhausted from the chemo. Like, I think she was looking at it as that way versus the medical reasons for it.
Okay.
Which is why if he had just said something, it would have been different. So I understand her frustrations about him being stoned and not listening to her. And then about him standing her up to hang out with his ex-girlfriend, and then standing her up because he just didn't want to. You know what I mean? Like, he was treating her like garbage and then was like, you were the one that was wrong. Like, to her.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I think they were both wrong at some points.
Like, I don't think she was wrong. I can't find one situation where if he had communicated what was happening and she continued, then I would say she was wrong. But he did not communicate anything. So how was she supposed to know?
I see your point, but at the same time, like, Spinner is sick 24/7, so I am cutting him a bit of slack for not being the best at communicating.
Sure, but also she hasn't been dating him that long, so...
Well, they weren't even dating at this point either.
Exactly, so, like, she didn't even know him before he had cancer.
Yeah, that's true. Well, at the end of it, okay, we could keep arguing about this.
But I'm Jane Stan, so
at the end of the episode, they both apologized to each other. So I did like that. They both kind of realized where they were in the wrong. Like, even if Jane didn't realize she was acting wrong, she still realized that her actions were hurting Spinner. So I do.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, that's fine that she apologized because she didn't know.
Yes.
Like, she easily could have been like, you didn't tell me that this was bothering you. But instead she was like, you're right. Like, I didn't realize that this was going on. I apologize. And I'm not going to do it anymore. And, like, that is a healthy response.
Yes. So I did like how they both resolved the situation.
But he had, like, more than three strikes. So I'm shocked she even stayed. Even if you have cancer, like, there comes a point where you can't treat someone like that, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, honestly, even in the episode where he was fighting people, like, there was the scene where Jane says, I'm scared of you, and then he, like, grabs her. I would have left right there, honestly.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, I don't know why she stayed with him. Like, I'm glad. Like, I really like Jane. I'm glad she worked it out or whatever, but I think that it was not a great relationship to begin with, to, like, start off. Even if it was him at his worst, you know? He was physically beating the shit out of people, too.
Yes.
I didn't even think about that. That's also bad.
Right. So, like, of course, we don't know too much about Jane at this point, but she clearly has this kind of badass kind of vibe and kind of goth vibe. So it does kind of fit, I guess, that, like, it's not going to bother her too much, I guess, based off of those character traits.
I guess being treated poorly doesn't bother her, but it should.
Well, I think it's not so much that she's not taking it personally is what it is. She's taking it a little personal when Spinner's like, I had 10 times more fun hanging out with Darcy than I did with you. Like, she definitely took that personally.
I also, there it is too, would have dumped him. Would not have settled for that one.
But I think Jane is very mature and is able to see the bigger picture. And that's one of her strengths that we see in this season.
Yeah, I guess it's fine. I like, part of me doesn't love plots that are kind of like, the woman sticks it out. When, like, you don't have to. You don't have to. Like, if someone's treating you poorly, you don't have to stick it out. Jane sticks it out, whatever. That means we keep her around, then I'm fine with it, I guess.
Yeah. Well, because honestly, Spinner and Jane are a great couple. They are.
Yeah.
So Jane is very supportive of Spinner in this season, whether or not she should have been, she was.
Yes.
And then I guess Jane didn't really need to be supported by Spinner in this season, other than when she was being a dick to Darcy. But we, of course, see Spinner support Jane next season, so.
Yeah, so then it evens out, kind of. Yeah. Do you want to talk about Jane and Darcy?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we didn't talk about them and Darcy stuff because we figured this was more of a Jane development.
Yes.
For her. Yeah, not a huge fan of girls who are like, who don't like being girls. It's like, there's nothing wrong with being a girl, first of all, so get over it. Second of all, I feel like Darcy really put Jane in her place in this one.
Yes.
And I love it.
Yeah, Jane deserved to kind of get it handed to her. She was being so uncomfortable. Like, I hate when people are like, either way, when people are like, oh, I only hang out with boys because there's no drama. Oh, I only hang out with girls because boys are like gross or whatever. Like, I hate people who kind of generalize like that.
I agree.
So I did like how Jane kind of learned her lesson that she really did just want a girlfriend.
Yeah. And there's, again, like, nothing wrong with being a girl or liking hanging out with girls. I hate that trope, and I'm so glad they shut it down.
Yes.
And didn't let it continue.
Yes. Because it does make sense based off of, like, because this is towards the end of the season. So, like, we know Jane a bit more at this point. So, again, she's kind of like the gothy, like, I'm unique type of trope. So it did fit with her character and was kind of a good thing to be reminded of. But yeah, it was good to see Jane make some friends who aren't Spinner. Because again, like I mentioned earlier, when we were talking about Trina, like, Jane was invented to be Spinner's love interest the same way Trina was. But Jane kind of gets her own development and has a personality outside of just supporting her boyfriend.
Yeah, I think even though they did intend for her and Spinner to date, I also think they intended for her to be a bigger character eventually.
Right.
Which is why they like made her related to awful Lucas or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
I did like the line that Darcy says where she's like, I didn't want a solution. I just wanted you to listen.
Yeah.
I think that's just such a big thing, because Darcy, like, this whole season has had like the worst time, and like when she's finally just gets to be like a girl who like people don't know stuff about, like Jane doesn't really know her, so like now we get to talk, and like Jane fucks it up and she's just like, I just wanted someone to like listen. Like, I don't need someone to fix it.
Right.
I think that was kind of cool,
because honestly, that's, in my opinion, what being a friend is more about. Like, unless someone is explicitly asking like, what should I do, then they just want you to just listen to you rant.
I agree. That's what we do before we start this podcast.
Life is hard.
Yes, that was just like one episode, but it was a good introduction into what Jane could potentially be in the future.
Yes, and she, of course, is very important in seasons 8 and 9, so.
Yes, very exciting.
The last plot is the physics plot.
Sorry, I kind of like put that in the other one a little bit.
Because that episode is, I feel, it's not really about the cancer. Like, it's kind of a separate thing to kind of close out Spinner's high school arc. because I guess it is related to the cancer in the sense that he, like, when he had cancer, he wasn't really looking towards the future. He was just like, okay, I need to be in the present and fight this now.
Mm-hmm.
Now that he is in remission, he's like, oh, I need to graduate high school and think about what I'm doing afterwards.
Yeah. It finally, like, took a turn that, like, this isn't a cancer plot. This is a, like, Spinner acting like himself, his old self, where he, like, wasn't prepared to take a test, was gonna rely on Jimmy to help him, didn't take advantage of Jimmy helping him.
Yeah.
All failed. Classic Spinner stuff.
And a great Spinner-Jimmy friendship plot, too.
Yes. Oh, my God. I was, like, watching it, and I knew how it ended, because, like, how do you not remember this? But I was just so excited when Jimmy pulls out the glove and it's purple. It's just so, and like the way that Spinner's just so happy about it.
Yeah, and honestly, kind of a, I guess you could call it foreshadowing about, I wouldn't have thought of a glove on Jimmy, except for the bathroom scene where Spinner fishes Jimmy's phone out of the toilet and Jimmy pulls his glove out.
Yes, that was the total foreshadowing of it.
Yeah, so that was kind of clever to, like, subtly bring that up as the plot device.
Yes, that was awesome, the way that they did that. Because when they had that scene with the gloves, I was like, wait, what does the phone have to do with anything? And then I was like, oh, shoot, now I know.
Good writing on Degrassi writer's part, A+.
Yeah, they're usually, like, pretty good about the foreshadowing stuff, I would say. Anything else?
Spinner and Jimmy finally graduate.
But I, like, were they even in the... I didn't even see them in cap and gown. Did you? Maybe I missed it.
Well, the graduation episode isn't about them, but they are at the graduation scene.
Okay. I feel like I missed it. That's why I was confused. Because I was trying to figure out, I'm like, who do they graduate with? Were they the same age as Emma and them? Are they staying another year? I'm like, what did I miss? But
yeah, no. they graduate with Emma, Manny, Liberty, Toby.
Okay, because they didn't, like, go to the JT site with them.
Because they weren't friends with JT.
I know, but, like, whatever, fine. I figured.
Well, because, honestly, even though Spinner and Jimmy graduate with Emma, like, you still consider them to be in Paige's grade, you know?
Yeah, that's... I always, like, forget. Even though I know I shouldn't forget.
Yeah, so it's, like, they're still mostly associated with Paige and her graduating class, even though they graduated late.
Yeah, I guess because, like, Ashley being there threw me off, too.
Yeah, because they never associate with Emma either, or Manny.
Even though they get married.
Yeah, right.
I, like, feel like I need to rewatch it and write down every moment Spinner and Emma even acknowledge each other. And then, I'll be like, what the heck did you do?
Well, I think I've been mentally keeping track. Season 1, Spinner is bullying Emma and Manny.
Yes.
Season 2, they do the fruit science project together where Spinner gets the boner. Season 4, they both bully Rick at the same time.
Yeah.
And I don't think anything since then.
Yeah, they had, like, no crossover, I think, in this season.
No.
Except for when they both end up at the college.
Yeah.
But even then, they don't talk to each other.
No.
It's so weird.
But this is our goodbye to Jimmy and Ashley. And Spinner, of course, stays for 2 more seasons. And Jane is also around till season 9.
What is the reasoning behind Spinner staying around?
Like, the actor reason?
I mean, like, he just works at the Dot, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Does he say he's going to college?
He has a whole thing in season 8 about figuring out his career.
Okay. That's what I thought. I was trying to remember because they ended it with him not really knowing what he was going to do. So that, like, kind of makes sense for him to stay around. And then him and Holly J have that weird crossover.
Well, honestly, Spinner and Holly J's friendship is so good.
It is good. I'm excited to... We're almost caught up. I don't want to think about it.
We still got a couple months.
Okay.
Good. But before we get to season 8, we have to finish off season 7. So who do we have left, Bridget? I forget.
Okay. We have 2 more episodes, I believe. We're going to be doing Paige, Marco, Ellie, because we're going to try to squeeze them in with these guys.
That would have been a 3-hour episode.
Yeah. So we have Paige, Marco, Ellie, probably like whatever they're doing with their roommates and Alex and whatever. And then our last one we're going to end with is Manny, Emma, Jay, Liberty, Toby, and like a little bit Sean.
Yes. That might be a long one too.
We'll see. Because it'll be the last one. So maybe I'll let it slide.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're trucking along. Season 7. Honestly, I love it so much.
It's moving up on my rankings. I am very excited to rank it when we get to the last episode for this season.
Honestly, right now, it might be number 2 for me.
I think it's going to bump 5 down for me, and I might move it into 3rd place. I'm unsure.
We'll find out. So thank you for listening, and we will see you soon for our next season 7 episode.